Ladies and gentlemen, please pay close attention to the following message from our sponsor. Thank you.
That's it. That's my boy Ralph Hawkins who put that together. This is your boy J. Anthony Brown, live, Morris Media. Should the collar be up or down? Because the collar's up or down, I don't know. Anyway, it's the J-Spot, what is it, podcast with yours truly, J. Anthony Brown, Los Angeles, California, in the Shaw. On the Shaw, the Shaw stands for Crenshaw. Crenshaw is a very popular street in Los Angeles, California. It's so popular, if you say it to somebody, they will repeat it right back to you. Like you say, well, it's on Crenshaw. They go, Crenshaw. And they have that tone right there. But Crenshaw's actually a nice place to hang out. There's certain parts I wouldn't fuck with. But anyway, it's your boy right here at the J Spot. I got my engineer. Poetess, who's the engineer for every one of these fucking shows. I mean, it's like, I think she has a room here, and if she doesn't, she should. What are we going to talk about today? Well, let's see, man. First of all, I like to always start about talking about business. I always started talking about business. I have a business. I have several businesses. I sell t-shirts. I got hats. I got CDs. I got a comedy club. I think, I do the radio show. I do this. This is a business. Like I said last week, one of the most important things is talk to your employees. Try to find out where they're coming from. Because you don't know every damn thing. Listen to what they have to say. I'm not so keen on having family work with you. It just has never worked for me. Family, you have a tendency sometimes. I think what works best with family, if family starts in the business, if they start from the ground up in the business, then you can somewhat guide them in the direction you want to go. But if you start a business and somewhat, you bring in the family, it just doesn't work out. They have a different vision. You also have a tendency to let family get away with shit you normally wouldn't let other people get away with. So you don't always have to have your family. And like I said last week, you're going to get the most help when you start a business from people you don't even know. People you don't even know, strangers are going to help you out and find out that you're doing X, Y, Z, and they're going to be, so eagerly to help you. Don't be afraid to learn. Don't be afraid to ask questions. If you open a business you know nothing about, as black people, we tend to see, just because you like barbecue, don't mean you can open a barbecue store. Because you get your hair cut, don't mean you know shit about running a barbershop. So anyway, we got that down. All right, now what's in the news? What's going on? Oh, my God. What is happening in the news? All right, first of all, let me say this. Today's show is brought to you by hotterthanamofo.com. That's Mofo Man right there. That's a handsome-looking fella. that outfit was derived by yours truly. I started a hot sauce company. I would go to these hot sauce conventions, which a lot of people are not privy to. They don't know that they have hot sauce conventions. Somewhere in the neighborhood of 50, somewhere 60,000 people that show up. It's not attended by a lot of black people. My first year, I went to the hot sauce convention. Those are my hot sauces right there. Peach and pepper, cayenne, habanero, garlic, and the very firecracker, hotter than a mofo. I'm coming out with a new one called Your Ass Will Be Mad at You. That's going to be... That's the one thing about doing this show. If you make Portis laugh, because we're in here by ourselves. So if I make Portis laugh, it is a good joke. So my new hot sauce is going to be called Your Ass. I have a picture of that. I'll send it to you and see if I can get you. It's going to be called Your Ass Will Be Mad at You. But back to my hot sauce story. I would go to these hot sauce conventions, and I try to sell my hot sauce. And what I noticed was a lot of people, Portis, can I have some water? Man, I'm like parched. You know, Negroes don't get parched. We get thirsty. I'm thirsty. Thank you so much. Anyway, I would go to these hot sauce conventions. I have a good friend of mine, Mr. James House. I hope he's watching right now. He's a director, producer, very, very, very serious guy. Very, very serious guy. You have a friend like that that's just like really, you need, and first, everybody needs, then you're the serious one. Everybody in their life needs one serious person that keeps you straight so you don't mess up. Anyway, James House and I would go to these conventions, and we weren't selling any hot sauce, and I noticed people had these crazy names. So I said, I need a gimmick. I need a gimmick. I need something that's going to stand out. So I said, let me get my guy, Ian Taylor, who is the tailor, who made that mofo outfit. I said, I want to make a superhero for hot sauce. So could you put that back up there again? Mofo man. I said, I want him with the tights on and the cape and the big, I want the baggy shorts, you know. I didn't want to, you know, show off too much. But anyway, he made this up for it. We went back, we went to the hot sauce convention the next year. And the other thing, a lot of people had awards. We didn't have any awards. So we went to the trophy shop and we had awards made up. Number one hot sauce. And we just set it up there. And when we went back with Mofo Man, killed it. White people, oh, Mofo Man, we want to take a picture. So you got to have a gimmick. But anyway, that's my hot sauce business. And I'm trying to get it off the ground. Like I said, my new one's going to be called Your Ass Will Be Mad at You. But that's that. What's going on in the news? I guess we can talk about, I have a lot of friends of mine who are police officers. And I've been trying to get their take on these shootings. What the conclusion I've come up with is that there is a code of silence. You don't talk about cops that are fuck-up cops, because if you do, then you'll get fingered when you need help out there by yourself. And I'm not going to call anybody's name, but they were saying that they allow them to be fuck-ups because he really didn't have an explanation as to why. But here's the thing. How many years ago do you think that NWA song was written? 20 years ago. 20-something years ago. Remember that song, F the Police? It wasn't F the Police, it was Fuck the Police. And everybody went, ooh. That's it right there. Right about now, NWA court is in. Turn it up. Effect. Judge Dre residing. In the case of NWA versus the police department, prosecuting attorneys are MC Ren, Ice Cube, and Easy motherfucking E. Order, order, order. Ice Cube, take the motherfucking stand. Do you swear to tell the truth, the whole truth? Do you remember when you got that CD, you're like, wow, this is like, where they gonna play this at? Come to find out they were playing that shit everywhere. But here's the thing I know about living in L.A., and you can piggyback on this. Blacks get treated different in L.A. by cops. We always have, and until something changed, I've been here almost 30 years, 35 years. I've never seen a white person bent over the hood of a car. I've never seen a white person sit on the ground with their hands up. I've never seen white people face the fence like they do Hispanics or blacks in this town. And until that changes, man, the attitudes of police officers and the attitude between blacks and police officers is not going to change. It's just not going to change. You know, you hate to say this, but white people are never going to get the feeling of what we're going through until a couple of these police officers start dragging them out the car and beating their ass for no reason. Just grab a white person, a couple of them, and just beat their ass. I'm not saying do that, but that's what we go through. That's what it's like. You never know what the hell's going to happen to you when you get stopped in L.A. You have no idea. We were talking the other day, today on the radio show with my Tom Jonas show that I do in the morning, that if you got a kid, you better have that talk with him. And the talk better be like, just try to get your ass home. That's the best thing you can do. Try to get home. Cop stops you. You do what he tells you to do. You don't woof up. You don't talk back. You try to get past that situation you're in and try to get your ass home, because that's what it's all about. That's exactly what it's all about. I've been stopped a couple of times. You know, I go to work at 2:30 in the morning, and, you know, I've been stopped by police officers. You just don't know what's going to happen. Put your hands in the air. I got this prop poetess I'm bringing in next week where these arms are behind your back and they stay up in the air all the time. So you walk. I gotta send you this. Hold on. Can I send you this? I'll see if I can find it. The arms, so I'm going to sell these. I'm going to make a lot of money with these. Your arms are in the air all the time. I also say that every car in L.A. should come with a sunroof so they can see your fucking arms in the air. it's scary. Now, it's not so bad. And here it is right here. Can you see that? Oh, you can't see that. Okay, I'll send it to you. Yeah, it's called. So my arms are up. Email, you want an email? I can text it. Okay. Yeah, this you gotta. It's a whole different mindset. And then you gotta be mindful not to ride with a loud mouth. You know, that's another thing. Oh, you ain't got to do shit, he say. You don't know who you talking to. You talking to such and such. You ain't got to take that. You have to separate yourself. You see it? You got it? See if you can post it up. Yeah, I had that made. I was going to market those. And you just walk around, do your business, in your arm. Put it up, boy. All right. And you, it's just arms behind your back, and they strap on around you. So you walk around, and your arms, you got arms up like this 24/7, which is what you need if you black in America. Man, I was listening to the radio today. We had a guest. Oh, listen, I was on the radio. Today we had a guest named Ali Sadiq, a comedian. And he said, you know, in case of a war, you can't change presidents. Is that true? Have you ever heard that? If there's a war going on, you can't change presidents. So we just need to start a war with somebody so we can keep Barack back in there another four hours. There it is. Look at it. Zoom in. And as funny as that is, that's some serious stuff, man. That's pretty much the way it goes. And see how you can, you know, go on about your duties and stuff like that. All right, we're going to take a break right now. We'll be right back. Take me out, Porters, with hold on. You got to get it on. Just play something for me.
Yup. If one more label try to stop me, it's gonna be some. It's never sweet. Oh.
If I want people to call me, what do I do? Oh, I'm on. Hey, and we're back. Oh, and we're back. What's the number? You got the number up? Okay. That's what I really wanted. I've always wanted a show where I got to talk to people. We don't get to talk to people on the Tom Jones Show. I'm gonna put my collar down. It looks better. Yeah, we don't get to talk to people on that. We do take texts, but by next week, I have my website put together. I have my phone number together, so you can talk to me. We're live in Los Angeles, California. Can you play that clip of my soundbite of my we can't play the video, but we can play the soundbite of my granddaughter dancing. The video came out upside down. The number to call me at 323-293-3375. We did pretty good last week. We had over 1,000 views. Is that good for the first time out? Yes. My goal is to beat whoever's here. That's to beat the rollout. What's the rollout show doing? Oh, yeah, that's my goal. Look, we got a little inside competition. They don't give a fuck if they got their gut out.
They don't give a fuck if they shit don't shit.
That's my granddaughter's sideways. We were in.
You ever notice that?
That's my favorite. That's my favorite grandchild right there.
They don't give a shit. If they shit don't fit, big girls don't quit. Mama,
I have this ability to write
they don't give songs.
I can't write music, but I can come up with like this song called Big Girls Don't Give a Foot If They Got They Gut Out. Dun, 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 dun. Big girls don't give a fuck if they shit don't fit. Bum, dun, dun, dun. They don't give a fuck. Anyway, so I wrote that. That's my song. I made Portis laugh again, so it's funny. That's my favorite granddaughter. I have 9 grandkids. That's the favorite, Akira. Now, a lot of people go, why is she the favorite and should you have favorites? I just say if you got a bunch of anything, you have something that's favorite. You have your favorite show, you have your favorite shoes, or you have your favorite meal. I have this restaurant when I go to CJ's. You ever been to CJ's? When I go to CJ's, I eat the same damn thing all the time. It's my favorite. So why is this daughter, why is Akira my favorite? I'm going to tell you. Zoom in. Zoom in. I've never told this story before. You're not zooming in. All right. I have 3 kids. I have a son and 2 daughters. My son's name is Terrell. Love him to death. He's lived with me from time to time. That's not something I wouldn't wish that on anybody, you know. A 65-year-old man and a 45-year-old man have no business being roommates if one of them is the daddy. So that didn't work out. So he's gone. Love him to death. I have another daughter, Kenya, who is a school teacher. She's studying right now to be a principal. I just spoke to her today. I love all my kids, and I always tell whoever the one I'm with, you're my favorite. I love them all the same. Then there's my daughter, Keisha, the one that we constantly fight all the time. I think the reason we fight all the time is because we're so much alike. We're very funny. We're very passionate. We get our feelings hurt real quick, and then we're quick to cuss you out and go, I'm sorry, let's go get something to eat. That's my daughter. I love her. But anyway, when she was about, I'm trying to think, how old was she? When she was about maybe 19, maybe 20, she got pregnant. And she called me. I was living in Atlanta. She was living in Columbia, South Carolina. And she called me up and said, I want to have an abortion. And I said, you know, cool. I was kind of young. I'm young myself. So and any parent that has to deal with that, hats off, you have to deal with it your way. That's why, you know, when the government gets involved with a lady's choice to have an abortion, I'm like, screw off. You don't know what they're going through. You can't make that decision for anybody. Anyway, she decided to have an abortion. So I said, I'll tell you what, I'll send for you. I'll send you a bus ticket. I wasn't a plane ticket comedian yet. I was still a bus ticket comedian. So I'd send you a bus ticket. Now I can plane ticket you. You know, when you first start off, it's drive, bus ticket, plane ticket. I mean, these new kids will probably have, I'll send a jet for your ass. But anyway, so I sent for her. She comes to Atlanta, and we do the paperwork. We make an appointment to go to the abortion clinic. And I go with her, and we're sitting in the abortion clinic for my daughter to have an abortion. And we're sitting there, and we're waiting. And we're waiting, and we're waiting. And all of a sudden, she says, you know what, Dad? I can't do this. I just can't do it. And we got up, and we walked out. And that was the best day we had. We spent the whole day together. We just went to get stuff to eat. We went to the movies. We laughed. And she spent the night, and she went home, and she had the baby. And the baby was Akira. And I guess because Akira was almost not here, she's my favorite. So there it is. All right. That's the story. What do you think about that, Potus?
I think that's a nice story.
So she's the favorite.
So she almost wasn't here.
She almost wasn't here, and I was there. I was there with her. You know, she's in the belly of my daughter, and she almost didn't make it, you know.
You know what? I find it very nice that you supported your daughter's decision either way. You didn't influence her to do one or the other.
No, I didn't know what to do. I mean, I got three kids out of wedlock, so I really didn't know what to do. In fact, my daughters, who are close to the same age, we call them the twins. Mm-hmm. But that's a whole different story.
Sounds like you have a call. Hang on.
I have a call. Hello?
Hey, Brother Jay. This is Aaron Glad, man.
Man, how you doing?
I'm doing well.
Where are you calling from?
I'm in Detroit.
Man, thank you so much for watching my podcast. Let me tell you something. This is my second podcast, and you are my very first call, man. You
oh,
know what?
Cool.
I tell you what, man. I'm so honored that you're here. And that you're calling me. You know, I just got to do something special. I'm touched. What would you like to talk about, man?
Well, actually, I was moved by your granddaughter story.
Oh, really?
Yeah. I checked out your first podcast, too, but I wasn't able to call.
Uh-huh.
But this, I'm checking you out now, and that story about your granddaughter, man, was very touching because I have kind of a similar story. I'll condense it. It wasn't an abortion. My wife, we're divorced now, though, but we had a miscarriage.
Yes.
And it was a boy, and his name would have been Benjamin after my grandfather.
Right.
And he would have been like 21 this year. And so I keep him in my heart because, you know, I won't get to meet him until I get to heaven.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm happy for you because you have your granddaughter to see now.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, so your story just kind of resonates with people, even if they don't call, but it just moved me to call, bro.
Well, thank you. I mean, the relationship that I have with Akira is just, like I said, she's my favorite. My daughter, I can sense that she's a little jealous of our relationship because I do fuck with my daughter. When my daughter is so weird, I can't believe I'm saying this. When I would call Akira on the phone, Portis, and I knew my daughter was there. My daughter's like, so what y'all laughing about? I would just tell my granddaughter, just laugh for no reason. Just just go ahead and piss your mama off. Just laugh real hard. And she's like, ah, oh, granddaddy, you're crazy. No, laugh real hard. Ah, granddaddy, quit it, you're crazy. And then we hang on the phone, she goes, what y'all talking about? So we were in Memphis this weekend, and she ended up having another baby. She got married, had another baby. She went to college. She was supposed to, she's finished. She didn't finish, but she called me the other day, said she's going back. So the connection I have with her is just, I just love her. I'm not saying I don't love my other grandkids any less, but the connection that Akira and I have is just, it's just golden. It's golden. I love when she's with me. I love making her laugh. And, man, thank you for calling, man. You know what? I'm so touched by your call, man. Let me send you something. Let me send you a... Wait a minute. Hold on. I got something. I got something for you. No, I do. Porter, stop it. Porter, stop.
Why Porter's laughing?
She's laughing, but I got shit to send people. You're a Mofo Man fan. I'm gonna send you a fan. So let me get your address. I'm sending you a fan, man.
I'll take your info off.
We'll take you. Thank you for calling, man. Thank you.
All right.
Yeah, we hang out all the time. I love hanging with her. You know, I've hung out with my other grandkids too, but it's just, it's nowhere near the connection that we have another call? Yeah, nowhere near the connection. This doesn't take anything with them. I imagine that grandkids have their favorite grandparents. I'm sure they do. I would think that they do, you know. Or have certain grandparents, I don't want to go over there. You know, so it's cool. All right.
The number to call into is 323.
The number to call in is 3. Oh, you changed the font. That's what it was. 323-293-3375. 323-293-3375. This is my second podcast. My goal here, and I'm laying the gauntlet down. It's been laid down, Portis, is to increase my numbers more than rolling out. Now, rolling out's been going on how long? How many years? What are their average numbers?
3,000.
Their average numbers are 3,000. I started at 1,000 in one podcast. I'm ready. I'm fired up, and I'm ready to go. I probably got a long way to go because they got a whole team of people. But that's my goal, is to make Morris Media, and we're going to have a little I'm throwing it down, Speedy. I'm throwing it down. I got 1,000. I got how many hits now? 1,000. That's pretty good for first time out, man. That's pretty good. And who's in second place?
Louis Dick Show.
Oh, I can beat Louis. Who's after that?
Mad Marv.
Oh, no problem. And then give me the top five.
It's Rollout.
Uh-huh. Number one.
Louis Dix.
Right.
Mad Marv.
Right.
Ride Along Radio.
Okay.
And I think the Music Showcase is the last one.
So that's the goal. You just know when it happens, poetess. I don't want no ill feelings.
Hey, I encourage it. I encourage the great competition between the shows.
I don't want any ill feelings about, you know, he's with Tom Jones. I don't want that. I don't want to hear that. But my numbers will beat all of them.
Your numbers are up to 1,048.
That's first time out.
First time
it's
out.
It's not first time out.
With little or no promotion. Yeah. That's grassroots.
What are my numbers now?
1,048.
And my goal is what?
3,500.
Oh, you just increased it.
4,000.
Whoa.
Some of our shows reach 4,000. But if you want to kill us, you get up past 4,000 or 5,000.
I'm going to do 5,000. I'm going to do it anyway. Anyway, it's so cool to be here. I just want to thank you guys. And I say you guys, thank Poetess, because I've been knowing Poetess for years. And she's been like, Jay, you got to come do a podcast. You got to do a podcast. And I never knew what a podcast is. What's the beauty is of a podcast? If you have a laptop in your home, you want to set up in your kitchen, trust me, I don't give a damn what the subject is. And you have to understand that we're all experts in some subject. You put that up, you put your podcast up, you're talking, not just talking in your neighborhood, we're talking across the world where people can view, call in, add on, make comments about what it is you're saying. And that's the beauty of a podcast. Not to mention the freedom that you have where you can say anything. You don't have to worry about commercials. I'm going to get me some sponsors. In the last part of my show, I'm going to show stuff that I'm selling to help keep this going. But it's the beauty. It's changed radio. I don't know how long you've been in radio, but radio used to be so controlled by radio stations that they made the decision whether or not you would get on, whether you have a show.
Yes.
And if the program director didn't like you, you didn't get on.
And then your ratings suck.
The ratings suck. And then there was a way back in the day you had to talk like this.
It's called puking.
Puking, right.
Pukers.
They still got pukers around.
I know.
You ever hear them?
Yes.
I was in Memphis. No, I was in Little Rock, Arkansas. And I heard a puker. And he was just, this is Sunday night. It's going down. And the big, I'm like, what the? Who? Why? Yeah.
Using their radio voice.
Yeah. There was a guy, Tom used to tell me about a guy, that when he would come to work and he did the radio show, he wouldn't talk before he went on the mic because he wanted that. He wanted to keep that rasp in there. And see, the beauty of a podcast, if whatever happens, you can let people see. You know, one of my favorite shows on radio is, for me, I mean, first of all, I love doing my show, the Tom Joyner Show, the show I do on, what is Kevin's social media? What is his? Accelerated Radio, the radio show I do there, the Countdown Show. And not to mention, this is my second show here, so we're building a relationship here. But I'm a huge Howard Stern fan.
Yes.
I'm just...
Have you ever listened to Tom Likas?
I love Tom Likas.
Yeah.
Tom Likas moved to the internet.
Yeah.
And
he does podcasts and gets all the money, gets all the advertising
dollars.
Still doing
good.
And He can cuss and be Tom Likas. When he was on 97.1, he couldn't do his.
You can say what you want to, but terrestrial radio is going to die one day.
It is.
It's going to die because
It's too corporate now.
It's too corporate. You ever seen this movie called The Fifth Element with Chris Tucker?
Yeah.
You know, in that movie, he's doing a radio show. He's a jock on the air.
Uh-huh.
He's doing a radio show.
Mm-hmm.
And the equipment, like, look at this. All this equipment we got here, you'll be able to put this I don't know when they're going to invent it, but you'll be able to put something in your ear, and you'll be able to go in the mall and broadcast. It's going to change.
Yes.
Maybe you'll put some sort of transmitter in your ass or something. I don't know. You get the ass, put it in your ass.
But you know what? Over 100 million people have listened to podcasts, and about 40 million listen per week. So they are definitely, it's definitely getting away from traditional radio.
It has definitely changed the way we listen to radio.
Yeah, because traditional radio, they play the same 10 songs.
Uh-huh.
It's not and the thing about podcasting is people can listen to it on demand. Like if they miss it live, they can go to your site, download it, listen.
So there you have it. The podcast. It's going
to
be the biggest podcast right here. It's going
to
be the biggest podcast right here in Mars Media. Yours truly, J. Anthony Brown, will kick everybody's ass. Don't take it personal when it happens, because it's going to happen. I don't want you going, well, I don't want to hear that. I want to be congratulated. I want everybody around me. You know what I'm going to do? I'm going to get a big wrestling belt made.
Okay.
So every month,
whoever has the highest numbers, they get to wear the belt.
Yes.
The Morris Media championship belt.
Yeah, I'm going to get the belt and hang it on the wall. All right, give me some music. And just think about it. You can go to break when I say go to break. Or, all right, give me a whatever.
We'll be back.
If you could love somebody like me, you must be messed up too.
She is. So right now, you know, I don't want to do the whole show by myself. I mean, I don't want to just get the big numbers by myself. So I'm bringing help. One of my favorite. Can you turn it up? Can you hear it? This is my song I wrote about what's going to happen when President Barack Obama leaves. Turn it up.
It's going to be all white. We going to be all white. Brother, we going to be all white. Sister, it's going to be all white. Do you hear me? Do you hear me? We going to be all white. Brother, it's going to be all white. Sister, it's going to be all white. Baby, it's going to be all white. Do you hear me? Do you feel me? Going to be all white. And when the day comes, Republicans celebrating shooting handguns. The ball court, you know they're going to want to take down. Replace it with a racetrack and a horse now. And no more talking about the plant life. Organic food, you know they put it in the spotlight. With like Michelle's in the garden, not the highlight. Now tell Obama we love him, but once he takes flight. Lord, no! No more dancing on the TV. No more rapping in the evening. Now we're back to status quo. White as mayo, now you feel me? Only playing country music style records. Bombing every single country for us, saying they don't like us. Donald Trump, he wears a toupee. Hillary checks emails all day. Both of them are blind as can be. So you best believe when I say, when you go, black people won't have no vote. People, instead of raising dope, probably end up back in debt for sure. People, and he ate Roscoe's, had a number 9 that he took to go. People, he missed a J-spot though. My eyes getting wet to see Obama go. Cause it's gonna be all white. It's gonna be all white. White brother, we gonna be all white. White sister, it's gonna
That's yours truly. That was put together. The words were written by Aaron Taylor. The song, the music was done by, look at Porter. I keep calling her Porter. Precious is here. Big hand for Precious, y'all. I always say up and coming, but you know, up and coming is gone now. You have arrived. People know you. You walk in the room. How does it feel now that when you walk, oh, that's Precious. Do you hear it? Do you feel it? A little bit, huh?
A little bit, but it's still, you know, it's cool. You know? You know your real story. It's like,
Well, when I first started comedy, I said I wanted to be to the point where I could walk on stage. I'll tell you where it came. I went to see Richard Pryor.
Man.
And he, Patti LaBelle opened for him. And Patti LaBelle did her thing. And when Richard Pryor came out, they didn't go, and he did this, he just walked out.
Yeah.
He just fucking walked out.
And then
people went, oh, So I said, that's how I want to be.
Yeah, you ain't even got to get introduced.
Just let me, when do I go up? And they know you. So I mean, it can be it can be good. It can be a hindrance. Though. How long have you been doing comedy now?
You know what? Y'all only count when how long I've been taking it serious. You know what I'm saying? So
when you say taking it serious, what do you mean?
I mean, like, I could say I first hit the stage back when I first.
Well, you got to count those years.
But I don't count them, Jay, because I didn't know I was a comedian. I wasn't serious about it. I was just like, I did that shit. You know what I'm saying? Like, you know what I'm saying? But later, when you get your feelings hurt and you quit and you
and
come
you drive
back,
home.
Yeah. It's like that
heartbreak. You don't understand. That drive home, man. Like, comics don't talk to you. They
treat you like you stink. Like
you got doo-doo on your face.
It's bad.
Man.
So
it is the worst feeling in the world.
Yes.
Because all you want is to make people laugh.
Man.
That's all you want. And when they go, not tonight. We're not feeling it. We're not. Nah.
For real, you got to love it to be able to do the same thing a couple of nights.
What did you do before you did this, President?
You know what, Jay? I did a bunch of unfulfilling shit where I got over on every job. I did. I worked at the casino out here. Uh-huh. I worked at a few casinos out here. I was corporation. You know, the one to see with the money. And
you did that?
I did that. That was my job. Uh-huh. Yeah.
And what else you did?
And then, you know, I did background bullshit. You know what I'm saying? I worked at Nordstrom Rack. I worked at Dollar Store. So I did a bunch of unfulfilling shit.
I assume you have a college degree.
I do have a degree in nothing. You know what I'm saying? General study.
Where'd you go to college at?
No, I went to University of Arkansas Pine Bluff. I was supposed to be a theater major. Oh, we beat Alcorn, too. They the two-time champs.
That's right.
Yeah.
So you were a theater major.
I was a theater major, but they wasn't offering the classes I needed at the end. And I'm like, I'm not hanging around here for you motherfuckers. Like, Nick, put me in something where I graduate. So.
Yes. And what made you come to L.A.?
Because I in my mind, I always felt like I was a star.
But that's half the battle.
Yes.
I mean, once it's what... We were talking last week about it's not what people see you as.
Yeah,
it's what you see yourself as. If you look in the mirror... I mean, Lord knows, I don't know how she does it, but not what's the girl that's on Power?
Oh, Taraji P.
No, the big girl.
Not Precious, but you know, yeah. Gabby Sidibe. Gabrielle Sidibe.
She thinks she's beautiful.
No, not in real life. She just be saying that. You gotta keep it real with yourself. You know, I even noticed she was wrong with me. You know what I'm saying? So she.
But she does. She
knows her money is beautiful. She knows she's not beautiful.
I don't know.
Yes, you do know. Then she like, do whatever you want to and put some blonde hair in my head. You know what I'm saying? Have me strutting there with a short dress on. Have me fucking a dude. I'm still ugly.
Back to what we're talking about. It's about how you perceive yourself. It's not what people think about you.
True.
It is.
I wish you would have been here. My family was here last week, my birthday.
Your
did a show.
Came out here.
My dad, first time he ever came to a show too, Jay.
What did he say?
Say, he was.
Did you change your act?
I attacked the shit out their ass because they was ones who didn't believe in me either.
They didn't believe in you?
Hell no. So I was up there on them like, yeah, they really
did
love me.
You record it?
Somebody did. I don't have it.
You
it
actually,
was so
wait a minute,
good.
My favorite joke of yours, what that dick do. You did that in front of your dad?
I did that in front of my daddy. That nigga know me, shit. I just turned 35. Shit, I'm not finna be playing with him. Shit, nobody else.
The first time I went up in front of my mom, it had the worst show ever. Because I played to her and like... They're like, that ain't you. So I said, the next time you come, you got to sit your ass in the back because you fucking up my timing. But that
I was nervous, though. You know, I can't admit, like, I was like, damn, you know.
I made it. My parents are coming to see
me. My parents came.
Your mom and dad came.
My mom and dad and my brother. Everybody flew out from Texas and came, and it was really nice.
What part of Texas you from?
Dallas. Cowboys. Oak Cliff.
That's right. That's right. See, you are a Dallas
Rudy's.
I hate the Cowboys so fucking much. And I don't even have a team.
Damn!
I don't know. No, let me just say the hatred I have for the Cowboys. When the Cowboys lose, I have about four friends who I text. And I just wear their soul. I'm going to put you on the list.
Well,
now.
Yeah, put me on the list. You and my mama be good friends.
Your
she
mama,
hate us.
She
don't like us. Yeah. I told her, don't even call me. I don't even need that type of energy.
That's the thing I don't understand about
game day.
Y'all act like y'all playing. Y'all ain't even in the game. It ain't, you're not my son, who is a Dallas Cowboy. I mean, he gets depressed. Shout I have to out. Check on him. Like, he's like, are you going to kill your fucking self? He's a Laker fan and a Dallas Cowboy fan, and I'm not a Laker fan either.
Dang.
I just hit because I had the song. See, the whole world loves it when the Lakers lose. But anyway, the Lakers last year, they were so bad last year, we didn't fuck with them.
You cannot be like that when you're
a fan. And I own a comedy club. Like, I always tell people, like, all right, and I was when I go and say, like, how many people love the Lakers? And it goes, crazy. Yeah. I said, how many people hate the Lakers? It'd be like 2 or 3 people. I said, don't take that shit outside. Them Hispanics will fuck your ass up.
Like the Dodgers.
They are serious. The Lakers, man. These the Lakers. You know, Kobe. I mean, Kobe gone, man. Yeah. Magic Johnson and the Lakers. And these are the women. But anyway.
That's that's funny.
Yeah. So it's good. You've been doing comedy. Now, are you solely surviving off of comedy?
Well,
you don't have a job.
I don't have a job. But you know, I can turn on my app and do Lyft. You know what I'm saying? I can turn it on and do my lifting. You know what I'm saying? But
oh, the driving?
Yeah.
Have you done that?
Not this year. You know what I'm saying? But I do everywhere. You know.
You know what? I want to do that. I really want to do that.
You will have fun. I was thinking about doing a show like that because the characters. You know what I'm saying?
I really want to. Yeah, just put it on the side of your car.
Yeah.
The Lyft TV show.
You could do this shit. Me, I'm like, how much that camera thing? No, shit.
So, have you done it?
I've done it before, but you know what I'm saying? I had a dude who did, like, heroin. When he had me taking him to spots. He was a hustler. He like, take me to this entrance. I had him all day. We went to Walgreens. I used the bathroom. Kicked it. Like, say, Hispanic smoking. They like, you want to smoke shit?
You ever had to put anybody out?
I haven't had to put anybody out, you know.
Now, who are the worst, men or women?
Men. Me and the worst, only because they get drunk and get to tripping, and then they riding 4 deep. Now, I don't even have that many people in my car, you know what I'm saying? So now it's a car full of drunk people, and you know my nerves.
How long did you do it?
I did it until I started getting gigs on the weekend, really? You know what I'm saying? Like, yeah, I was doing it. Like, I was only doing comedy on the weekdays, so I'm like, shit, Friday, Saturday, Sunday, I'm going hard. All
right, so what's your next gig? What's the next gig you got coming?
My next gig, I have San Manuel Stadium on October 8th. You know what I'm saying?
I saw that.
Yes, yeah. I had that.
That's what G-Thing?
G-Thing is hosting.
He's on old fat G-Thing. He's back fat again. I'm so glad his ass is back fat. Fat bastard. I am so. No, he was a different G thing because he had his thin attitude. Did you notice? This shit was all tough.
He kind of had that attitude when he was big.
When he was thin, you know. And then now he's back fat. He stays away from me because he came to the club. I said, you're back fat again, huh? I see you got your shirts hanging out, you fat fucker.
Yeah. Yeah. That shirt ain't tucked in like it used to be.
No, it ain't tucked in. And he had the belt on the last loop and shit. He was real thin.
I just went in on a dude about that. Like, that belt is too little.
But what it's called is sometimes when people lose weight, it's called not yet. They have it on there. Like, no bullshit. They'll put on an outfit, but it's like, they ain't that thin yet.
Not yet.
The outfit is thinner than they are. Yeah. And so when G-Thang, he lost a lot of weight.
He did.
He was wearing a little sweater vest and shit. Yeah, he did. And they had a little give. You know what I mean? When you're thin and you have give in it.
A little give. A little give. And give a little bit. You know what I'm saying? You can tuck it in and fluff it out. You know what I'm saying? Yeah, he had a little give, but that hurt on. What's now, up with that hurt?
But now his shit is back fat. I'm like, welcome back. And there's nothing more happier than a fat person to welcome a thin person back from thin to fatness. So, G-Thing, we welcome you. We welcome you back. Ooh. We're glad you're back fat.
He trying to go to the gym like he's still in there. Nigga, it's a difference, okay? You've been slacking. We can see it.
I gotta get that video. I have a... One thing I like about G-Thing, I have to give him a credit. G-Thing is one of the hardest working comedians. He really works on his craft. He's very funny. He's all G-Thing, and you just have to be that. That's G-Thing. You accept it or don't accept it. But he just has this attention where he don't watch anybody else on stage.
Yeah.
You get comedians, a lot of comedians have what I call is a comedy laugh, where if they see somebody on stage, they get the, ah-ha, that's funny.
Yeah.
They don't really laugh. I'm a laugher.
They judge it more than laughing.
I love to see, like, I love watching you because I laugh. I mean, I'm like probably the hardest person that laugh. But anyway, G-Thang and Ron G are going at it, right?
Yeah.
And this is when before I had the club fixed up. I got it. I had a video. And Ron G is on stage and G-Thang is in the background heckling Ron G.
Aww.
And Ron G told G-Thang, which is when he was fat, he said, G-Thang looked like one of them old lunch ladies that won't give you the mashed potatoes.
And you know.
But that's good. Who else is on that show, though? That's a big show.
That Paula Bell And you know, she funny as hell. Yeah. Oh, boy, this is funny. Paula Bell, D-Lay.
D-Lay's on it.
D-Lay and Mike Cano.
I don't know him.
I don't either. You know what I'm saying? I don't either, but I hear he's funny.
Huh?
We got to call.
Yeah, we got to call Ralph. All right, what we're going to do right now is call a friend of mine. You just heard that song, It's Going to Be All Right. He's a producer of that song. His name is Ralph Hawkins. He's married to B.G. Womack. She's the granddaughter of Bobby Womack.
Bobby Womack.
And they have this song called It's the Right Time. I'm going to talk to him right now. You got him on the phone? All right, yeah. Anyway, so can we play the song real quick, just a little bit of it? This is him and his wife.
So funny.
I know. This is like my second radio show to this. Check it out. Turn it up louder.
Early 2090-ish.
Yeah. Does that mean you like it or you don't like it?
It sounds cool. And, you know, I think I know Ralph.
You do know Ralph. Yeah. He's been around for a while. Yeah. He does all the music.
Is this song available? You want to?
Yeah, it's on iTunes. iTunes and, hey, what are we podcasting?
We picturing now. We're going to Snapchat.
We're just picturing. We
Snapchat. I already Snapchatted you talking shit.
Yeah, I can snap. I'm probably the. My sister just started texting. You know anybody like that? You know? Yeah, she just started. Because she was an angry texter. Like, you know, the angry texters are people like, don't text me because I don't know how to text.
Yeah, just kind
of. So she said the dumbest shit I ever heard. She said, I don't want to be alive when they don't make a flip phone no more.
Yeah. Well, nice
well,
knowing
that's about to happen. Yeah. But she said something else that made a lot of sense. She said, the one thing about the flip phone is that when you close it, it's off. It don't butt down.
Yeah, that's
it
true.
It don't butt down.
Yeah.
We have some folks in the chat room that actually like the song.
Oh, yeah? Yeah.
She said that surprisingly. Yeah. Okay. Did you know?
Well, that's Ralph Hawkins and his wife, B.J. Womack, the Womack sisters. They're coming out with a CD shortly.
I think I know.
Yeah, all of
Ralph
them can sing.
Ralph from radio.
Yeah,
was
Ralph.
He in radio?
Ralph was a producer. He used to do our boys. Not Boys to Men.
I was going to say, he everything.
New Edition. He would produce stuff for New Edition.
Oh, okay.
And Rick James. So he's a very good producer, very good songwriter. All right, let's get back serious right now. We've been talking and having some fun about that G thing. Let's get back serious. Big G. That's going to be his new name. Big G thing.
You know how they were doing Big Luther, Small Luther.
Big Luther or Little
big,
Luther.
Big G and Little G.
Big G.
Little G, so we call him Big G.
Lower cap,
sorry. Okay. But anyway, what we're going to close out with is we're going to talk about my girl, Charlotte Underwood. Did you see this clip?
Yeah, I saw it. Yeah. Oh, yeah, she went in.
Yeah, let's. Can you roll that? What are you talking about?
What do you think it'll take to stop racial profiling?
Well, I mean, I wish any of us could answer that question, right? This is like a new low to me. It's so disheartening that he didn't have a weapon. He didn't have any drugs. He didn't have any behavior that was alarming. His arms were up. I don't understand. There was like practically seven police officers there or something. Why this officer could have interpreted this as a threat is so beyond me. I mean, I don't know if maybe we... Too often there is paid leave. I don't know if it needs to be, you know, prosecuting when someone uses such poor judgment like this. I mean, that's the only thing I can
trust. I think there are two things to think about, which is, first of all, as you said, he was complying. He was tasered. You can't tell from these videos, but what it seems like, and this is allegedly, is that he was actually shot when he was already on the ground, which is really alarming.
Oh.
We also remember a recent case, and I don't have the names, I think it was in Florida, of a guy who was a therapist working with a guy with autism.
Yes. Yes.
He's on the ground, on his back with his arms raised, and they shoot him anyway.
Yes.
And when he asked the cop, "Why you shoot me?" the cop said, "I don't know."
Right.
So what we have is, look, this is hard to talk about. This is hard stuff to talk about. But we have a legacy of racism in this country. And if we don't start calling it racism, then we can't fight it.
That's
we have to see what it is. Have to be trained differently. If this had been,
you don't have to train the police not to shoot white people. Why you gotta train them not to shoot us?
But Dottie, I'm saying everything has to be confronted. Everything has to be confronted. Because when you see a high speed, there was a high speed chase recently in LA with a Caucasian woman. She went through several counties. She ran into cars. She ran up on the road. When they took her out of the car, they gently removed what looked like a cell phone and gently handcuffed her. If that had been a black man, he would have been face down on the pavement without 1 second of conversation. We have to change how we see each other. And we cannot do that until we say what it is, which is that racism and fear of black men specifically drives these shootings. We have to change as a nation.
But I know we gotta go to break, but first thing you gotta do, you gotta make it a hate crime. You gotta put people in jail. When you shoot somebody under the color of authority, you need to lose your job, and you need to lose your livelihood, and you need to lose your freedom, like every other American loses their freedom.
Consequences.
But remember, there are good police officers out there, and the ones that are not. They need to go to jail. And don't tell me this. We got to train. Y'all white. Y'all drive all the time and don't nothing happen to y'all. And we black. And I'm afraid to drive my damn car because if they don't know who I am, I could be shot. Until y'all feel that, this ain't never gonna stop. Until you all that are not black feel us and stand with us, this is not going to stop.
We'll be right back.
It's amazing how the talk has slowly kicked the View in the ass because the View ain't gonna talk about this. The View is and I'm not knocking either show, but the View is an entertainment show and they're all about entertainment. But one thing I can say about Sheryl Underwood, the same shit she says on that show is the shit she says on stage. She doesn't change from the way she talks, and she's a very smart girl, very educated, one of them people you just don't want. Who going up? Sheryl? Can I go up first? Because I don't want to go up.
She is a beast.
She's a beast.
And she's a genuine soul.
Yeah,
like,
she's a genuine soul. She's right. Until white people start to feel what this is like to drive black, it's totally different. You're never going to feel it, but that was great, and that's one of the reasons why that show, The Talk, is just such a good show. Yeah, that's all I got. You got anything to say?
I'm
speechless.
You start crying. I'm like,
we can't
Lord.
Be crying.
Like, they all got nervous. She's like, we'll be right back. You know
what I'm saying? Like,
let's go to commercial right quick. I don't know what's
going on. Sheryl Underwood, you know, she'll snatch that wig off and whoop ass in a minute, man.
She look like it, too. Like, you know this for the show. Look.
Well, this is my second show.
Yay.
And, you know.
And you also have.
I'm on a syndicated Tom Jordan morning show with about 10, it's not my show, I'm on the show. But I like to think I'm a very intricate part of the show. Been on there for 20 years, so that's good.
Yeah.
I also have the J. Anthony Brown radio show. We're in about 12 markets where we count down the top 10. Poetess is on there. She got, I keep calling you Poetess.
Something
Precious is on there. Precious is on there. She does drops for me. What they talking about now, Jay? but anyway, I got that. And my goal here is to, we got a goal to beat. Precious.
Okay.
We got to get 5,000 right now.
To beat the rollout show.
The number one show on this market right here
is
the rollout show. you and I are going to kick the rollout show in the ass, all up in, and I don't.
I like it.
Yeah. I don't want any hard feelings.
Kick our ass.
Hey. Yeah, when I don't want any, like, oh, I don't want to hear it.
Yeah, because I love the rollout show. You know, I fuck with y'all on Monday, but Jay is like, you know what I'm saying? This is like blood, you know, right here.
Precious, hey, say, you know, I love fuck y'all. With y'all. You know,
but Jay is.
But
like,
it's so much fun. I just want to thank. I want to thank you, Portis, for allowing me to come here and do. But you don't get to do it for free. There's a fee involved.
But still,
and you're supporting black
business. But I support black business. That's the main thing. And sometimes the hardest thing for a black person to do is support another black person. And we talk about this in comedy all the time. I own a comedy club.
Jay.
There's another comedy club called the Comedy Union.
But that's not a comedian that owns. Like, he's the only comedian, black comedian, that owns a comedy club that really cares that much about our ass.
Yeah,
you know what I'm saying?
Support black comedy wherever you can go. And, you know, if you got a chance to go out to the, I call it Coon Night, Nigga Night, Big Lip Night, the White People at Home Night, go to those and support those. This is a good time for our young black comics to get a chance to perform. But don't roll your ass up there on the weekend, because it's all white people, okay?
Yeah.
It's all white people. But anyway, we had a good time.
You have a white night?
Every night.
No. I'm going to have a white comedy night.
Yes.
I need to host that white night then.
No, you ain't white. You ain't white, Precious. I got...
Well, you black. You a black owner. We can do what we want to do.
I'm going to have Honest John... Who is the guy, the white guy?
He don't even know no more white people.
Brett Riley.
R.T. Steckel.
Yes, and the one that really scared me, Roger Rod.
Roger Rod. He used to be a cop.
He was a cop, yeah.
He looked like one
he
of the
goes Jews. In on people. So let me tell you what's happening at the J-Spot. All right, first of all, coming up Monday, we're having a Watch the Debate live at the J-Spot in association with, I'm working with KGLH and Ashen Nation Network, which is the way Reverend Al Sharpton says it, Ashen Nation Network. It's the Action National Network. Reverend Sharpton says Action National Network. Anyway, we're having that on Monday. So come and watch the debates. Be there when it starts. Watch the debates. We're going to talk about it afterwards. Also on Tuesday, we got Tito Jackson. Tito Jackson's going to come there and sing it. Can you get that song for it? Get it, baby. Can you find that right now and take us out with that? And Tito Jackson's going to be there on Tuesday. Wednesday night, yours truly, J. Anthony Brown and Snaggletooth. We're going to be doing that. I love him. I'm all about giving people a chance.
That's why I love Jay, because Jay, nobody fuck with me. Jay fuck with me. You know what I'm saying? Nobody checking for me. And he ain't even got the name right to my Snaggletooth. The nigga named Snaggletooth.
I'm going to have him there. Thursday night, we're going to have comedy on Thursday. And then late night, we have something for the ladies. That's when the dancers come in and take all those ladies' money. I love it. It's one of my best nights.
Some big girls.
The big girls, yeah.
Around the building.
If they're so big, I'm going to have to get bigger chairs, because these big women are fucking up my chair.
They put wear and tear on it.
Man, I need
get
stumps.
Some movie, you
know, I'm going to get stumps. I'm going to get stumps for the ass to sit up.
So, Jay, where can people follow you?
You can follow me at J-Spot Comedy. If you're in L.A., stop by the J-Spot. The J-Spot is located. You got my logo? Put my J-Spot logo up. I know you got that.
I got the sauces.
I sent you the logo.
5581 West Manchester.
No.
Hold on. Keep on talking.
The address is 5581 West Manchester Avenue, right above Subway. It's 15 minutes from the airport. Come out, check us out. One of the, like I said, only comedian that I know, black comedian that owns a black comedy club. But I always shout out ends. Go over to the Comedy Union. Support the Comedy Union. There's room enough for everybody in the city. There's close to, 12, 14 million people here. I'm getting ready to have an all-Hispanic speaking comedy night.
Oh.
Just Hispanic. So, I mean, you have to learn to diversify. And I get a lot of complaints from comics like, well, why you got dancing in your comedy club? I said, the reason I got dancing in my comedy club is the same reason these white clubs have nigger night.
Hello? Monday.
Mo' Better Monday. That's the same reason.
Fried Chicken Friday.
The diversify. You know, liver pudding Wednesday, whatever, you know.
Chocolate Sunday.
You don't take your chocolate ass up there on Saturday.
Slayer, slave, sir.
You ain't booked, so that's why I do it. But anyway.
Real. That's real.
You got it? You found it?
I'm pulling it up.
All right.
That's real, though, Jay. I promise. I was thinking of a joke about that. Like, we don't never do that. Tree hanging Tuesday. You know what I'm saying? Be so proud of our night. You know what I'm saying?
Backslashing Thursday. You don't do that.
Right.
So don't be talking no shit to me. I always tell you, you want to talk shit about what I'm doing, open a comedy club and see how many nights you have.
For real.
So you just open one. Cause no, I've been here 30 years, and it's been what? If you had to guess how many comics has come through L.A. that tried to open a comedy club. Thousands. Mm-hmm. Thousands.
And you know what? I asked a popular black comic, because going off of what you said last week about how some of the big comics won't even stop at your club.
They won't.
I was like, you know, Jay was saying, you know, a lot of black comics don't come to his thing. And he said that because on the weekends they're out of town and they're traveling.
That's bullshit. That is the biggest bag of bullshit, because they go to the white clubs,
yep,
and they're not all working every night. They're not all working.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, one might be particularly working, but I've had black comics tell me that I just don't play black clubs.
Yeah.
I'm not coming.
They choose not to come. It's a choice. You know, they want to play to the easy crowd, to the easy people. They're going to keep it real with your ass in Inglewood.
But I'm not going to, I would never let that stop me as to who doesn't come to my comedy club.
And what people don't know about Jay is, like, you know, he wasn't our way. I mean, whatever he do to keep the lights on, I'm gonna never be mad at that. Because when Jay was down, he could have been like, fuck y'all, I quit, you know? And he stayed alive for us. He wasn't winning up there. So fuck y'all, in your opinion. You know what I'm saying? Real ones do real shit. If you mad, oh well. Shit, who else you gonna be?
Oh.
And this show was and that come with a beat down.
And a fight come with it. So.
Well, we'll be back next week. The numbers this week, POTUS will be 2,000.
Okay.
So this is my second week out. So if I were y'all, I'd be nervous.
You should be very afraid.
I'm coming. Thank you guys. Thank
Here's
you so much.
New music by Tito Jackson. Get it,
get
baby.
It. You'll be at the J Spot. Check it out.